I am now going to read chapter 2, The Perfection of Generosity. The perfection of generosity is mentioned first among the 10 perfections. As we read in the definition of dana, generosity, given by the commentary to the Basket of Conduct, I quote, "Giving, dana, has the characteristic of relinquishing. Its function is to dispel greed for things that can be given away. Its manifestation is non-attachment, or the achievement of prosperity and a favorable state of existence. An object that can be relinquished is its proximate cause." Unquote. Most people know that generosity is the giving away of things for the benefit and happiness of others. Lay people cannot give away all their possessions because they still cling to sense objects. But when there is an opportunity for generosity, they should nevertheless practice it. If one is unable to give away something one possesses, be it small or great, for the benefit of others, it will be so much harder to give up the clinging and attachment to the nama-dhammas and rupa-dhammas one takes for self, beings and persons. Therefore, it is necessary to give away things for the benefit and happiness of others as much as one is able to do in order eventually to eliminate defilements, including attachment to possessions as well as clinging to nama-dhammas and rupa-dhammas one takes for beings, people and self. Thus, in our daily life, we should not neglect the development of the perfection of generosity. We should know whether our generosity is a perfection or not. No matter how much we give away, generosity is not a perfection if we do not see the need to eradicate defilements. People who have understanding of the Dhamma and practice generosity should consider whether their generosity is a perfection. If someone gives away things without expecting a reward, not even rebirth in a heavenly plane, then his generosity can be a perfection. However, if someone wants to receive a reward when he wishes for rebirth as a millionaire, or for rebirth in different degrees of heavenly planes, or if he wants to receive gain, honor and praise, then his life is still bound up with all kinds of expectations, and his goal is not the eradication of defilements. If we reflect about this, we can know whether our giving at a specific moment is a perfection or not. The perfection of generosity is a condition to cross over to the further shore, namely the eradication of defilements, different from the realm of defilements. It is an extremely long way to reach the further shore, the eradication of defilements. It is not easy to reach it. We should clearly understand what eradication of defilement means. Therefore, we should know whether at the moment of giving we are hoping for a reward or not. Giving that eliminates lobha, attachment, is giving with the aim to eradicate defilements, and that means that we should not expect any reward. Besides generosity by way of material aid, there is a higher kind of giving, and that is the giving of Dhamma. This is actually the gift of right understanding, which will be beneficial both in this life and also in the lives to come. When we give material things to people who are needy and poor, this has only a temporary effect on them. We may not take into consideration the root cause of their poverty. The fact that people are poor is the result of akusala kamma, and so long as one commits akusala kamma, there are conditions for rebirth as a poor person. Besides assistance in a material way, we should help people by going to the root cause of their poverty, and that is helping them to have right understanding of the truth of the Dhamma. Thus, we shall see that we are really able to help each other in daily life, both with material gifts and with the gift of Dhamma. By the gift of Dhamma, we help others to gain right understanding of the Dhamma and to apply the Dhamma as well. Moreover, helping people to gain right understanding of the Dhamma can be a condition for them also to develop more kusala, generosity, morality, and mental development. Therefore, a person practices loving-kindness, metta, when he helps others in different ways to understand the Dhamma, by propagating it through radio programs, by printing Dhamma books, by Dhamma discussions, by explaining the Dhamma, without expecting a result for himself. In that case, his actions of generosity are a perfection, leading to the eradication of defilements. He has the firm understanding that developing kusala, not bound up with lobha attachment, is the development of the perfections. Some people who like to propagate the Dhamma want to evaluate the results of their good deeds. However, the true result of someone's efforts has nothing to do with the number of people who listen to the Dhamma he tries to propagate, or with the amount of good deeds he has performed for this purpose. The result of his efforts manifests itself in the citta of the listener, who is thus better able further to develop his understanding and apply the Dhamma. When someone who listens to the Dhamma gains right understanding, he accumulates sincerity, and this is the perfection of truthfulness, sakka parami. He also accumulates the perfection of determination. He has an unshakable conviction of his aim, that is, the eradication of defilements. We can evaluate the benefit of listening to the Dhamma at this very moment. Have we accumulated more kusala and eliminated kusala? There is another kind of dana, generosity, and this is abhaya dana, the giving of freedom from danger and fear. We read in the Gradual Sayings, Book of the Eights, Chapter 4, Paragraph 9, Outcomes of Merit, that there are eight outcomes or yields of merit, which are the going for the refuge of the Triple Gem and the five gifts. We read about these five gifts. I quote, "Herein, monks, a noble disciple gives up the taking of life and abstains from it. By abstaining from the taking of life, the noble disciple gives to immeasurable beings freedom from fear, gives to them freedom from hostility, and freedom from oppression. By giving to immeasurable beings freedom from fear, hostility, and oppression, he himself will enjoy immeasurable freedom from fear, hostility, and oppression." End of quotation. The same is said about the abstaining from stealing, sexual misconduct, wrong speech, and intoxicants. Thus, sila can also be considered under the aspects of dana, abstaining from deeds that harm others, as well as the giving of protection from danger, is included in the giving of freedom from fear, abhaya dana. Moreover, also forgiving can be seen as an aspect of the giving of freedom from fear. When we forgive someone, we do not give in to ill feelings or revenge. If someone does not know that forgiving is a perfection, he will not forgive someone else who has done him wrong. If we do not forgive others, how can we attain enlightenment and eradicate defilements? If we consider this, it may be a condition for the gift of freedom from fear. This is a way of generosity higher than the giving of material things, amisa dana. If we cannot forgive someone we do not like, we can neither develop other kinds of kusala with regard to this person. if we do not forgive him, or if we shall still be angry with him. We cannot be generous to him. We cannot even give him material things. Neither can we give him the gift of Dhamma, Dhamma Dana, in helping him with Dhamma discussion, or advise him as to what is beneficial in his life and what is not beneficial. The gift of freedom from fear is the condition for the perfection of morality, sila parami, to develop. It is the condition for abstinence from wrong action and speech. If we do not forgive someone else, our conduct will not be that of a friend, and thus kusala cannot develop. How could we then cross over to the further shore, namely the eradication of defilements? This shows us that our consideration of the nature of kusala in daily life should be very refined. A person who develops panya, that is able to realize the Four Noble Truths, should know the nature of his citta. He should know when he is mentally ill and has no moral strength. If that is the case, how could he travel the extremely long road that is the Eightfold Path? He should consider the nature of his citta, so that he can gain strength of citta by means of the perfections. He may know that the path is satipatthana, the development of understanding of the characteristics of realities. But sati does not arise if the perfections are not strong enough for the realization of the Four Noble Truths. We all should develop the 10 perfections with panya, also when we practice generosity in our daily life. We should know the truth. We should know the difference between giving without panya and giving with panya, such as in the case of the bodhisattva who gave with panya. In this way, we can consider and understand the perfection of truthfulness, sincerity for kusala, so that we can follow in the footsteps of the bodhisattva who developed the perfections during each life. He did not develop in one life just the perfection of morality, and in another life just the perfection of renunciation. But he developed all the 10 perfections, without exceptions, during each life. Now we shall deal with generosity that goes together with sincerity, with the perfection of truthfulness. And in this context, we should reflect on the generosity of the Bodhisattva. The Paramatta Dipani, the commentary to the Basket of Conduct, Charya Pitaka of the Kudaka Nikaya, explains about 3 kinds of dana parami, perfection of generosity. That is, the giving of material things, amisa dana, the giving of fearlessness, abhaya dana, and the giving of the dhamma, dhamma dana. We read about the giving of external objects. I quote, "When the great man gives an external object, he gives whatever is needed to whomever stands in need of it. And knowing by himself that someone is in need of something, he gives it even unasked, much more when asked." Unquote. A person who is ready to give something useful to someone else when he sees that he is in need has a refined understanding of the performance of kusala. As soon as he has seen that another person is in need of something, the citta accompanied by compassion arises, and he gives immediately. He does not wait to be asked. Further on, we read in the commentary, I quote, "He gives only when there is something to give," unquote. He does not trouble himself nor feel disturbed when at times he wishes to give, but he does not have anything he can give. The Bodhisattva gives only when he has something he can give. We read, I quote, "When there are things to be given, he gives what people like to have, not what they do not want," unquote. When other people are in need of something, he gives it away, provided, of course, there is something to be given. And we further read, I quote, "He does not give because he expects something in return. And when there is not enough to give sufficiently to all, he distributes evenly whatever can be shared. But he does not give things that lead to affliction for others, such as weapons, poisons, and intoxicants. Nor does he give amusing things which are harmful and lead to negligence. And he does not give unsuitable food or drink to a person who is sick, even though that person might ask for it. And he does not give what is suitable beyond the proper measure." Unquote. If we really want to help someone, such as a person who is ill, we need to reflect with compassion on the way we will give him assistance. We should not just give without any discrimination, but we should also know to what extent our gift is suitable and useful to a sick person. We should know in detail what is kusala, and we should not be discriminative nor neglectful of kusala. Just as a doctor should precisely know the condition of a person who is ill and the dosage of medicaments to be taken that is suitable for each individual, even so should we give with discrimination. The commentary states, and I quote, "Again, when asked, he gives to householders things appropriate for householders, and to monks things appropriate for monks. He gives to his mother and father, kinsmen and relatives, friends and colleagues, children, wives, slaves and workers, without causing pain to anyone. Having promised an excellent gift, he does not give something mean. He does not give because he desires gain, honor, or fame, or because he expects something in return, or out of expectation of some fruit other than the supreme enlightenment, and that, of course, is in the case of the Bodhisattva. He does not give detesting the gift or detesting those who ask. He does not give a discarded object as a gift, not even to unrestrained beggars who revile and abuse him." End of quotation. Each time we give, we should carefully investigate our citta. The citta should be truly gentle and tender. We should not have contempt for the people who ask for something or dislike the things we give. We should not give discarded objects, not even to unrestrained beggars who revile and abuse us. But can we follow this up? The person who receives a gift may be annoyed, or sometimes his behavior may be most unpolite. But still, the citta of the person who gives can be gentle and tender. He can give without dislike of the receiver. It may happen that the receiver is unrestrained in his behavior, that his conduct is improper, or that he reviles the person who gives. He may be angry. He may say that the person or other persons gives too little, or that he does not want to have the things that are given. However, in spite of this, the citta of the giver should be steadfast in kusala. We read in the commentary, and I quote, "He gives invariably with confidence, with compassion and respect." Unquote. In this way, one can eradicate one's own defilements also when giving. The commentary further states, and I quote, "He does not give through belief in superstitious omens, but he gives believing in karma and its fruit. When he gives, he does not afflict those who ask by making them to do homage to him, etc., but he gives without afflicting others. He does not give a gift with the intention of deceiving others or with the intention of injuring. He gives only with an undefiled mind. He does not give a gift with harsh words or with a frown, but with words of endearment, congenial speech, and a smile on his face. Whenever greed for a particular object becomes excessive, due to its high value and beauty, its antiquity, or because attachment has been accumulated since a long time, the Bodhisattva recognizes his greed, quickly dispels it, seeks out some recipients, and gives it away. Unquote. A person who understands himself well knows the extent of his clinging. He knows when he can give up something or when he cannot. Sometimes he may think of giving, but he is not able to give. However, as we read, it is indifferent for the Bodhisattva. The passage quoted above deals with the giving of material goods, Amisadana. The commentary gives many more details of the Bodhisattva's practice while he developed the perfections in order to attain the supreme enlightenment as the Sammasambuddha. However, we shall now only deal with a few details so that people can investigate more carefully their own citta in order to develop kusala further. The commentary states about the giving of freedom from fear, abhaya dana, and I quote, "The giving of freedom from fear is the giving for protection to beings when they have become frightened on account of kings, thieves, fire, water, enemies, lions, tigers, other wild beasts, dragons, ogres, demons, goblins, etc. The giving of Dhamma, Dhammadana, is an unperverted discourse on the Dhamma given with an undefiled mind, that is, methodical instruction conducive to good in the present life, in the life to come, and to ultimate deliverance. By means of such discourses, those who have not entered the Buddha's dispensation enter it, while those who have entered it reach maturity therein. This is the method. In brief, he speaks on giving, on virtue, and on heaven, on the unsatisfactoriness and defilement in sense pleasures, and on the benefit in renouncing them." Unquote. People may have understanding of dana, of the danger in sense pleasures and the benefit of renouncing them, but when one is unaware and does not listen to the Dhamma, one is bound to be overcome by defilements. When we often listen to the Dhamma, even though we hear what has said before, or when we listen to what has been said about daily life, we are reminded to reflect and be aware of realities, and thus there are conditions to accumulate more kusala. We further read in the commentary, and I quote, "In detail, to those whose minds are disposed towards the enlightenment of disciples, he gives a discourse establishing and purifying them in progress towards their goal, by elaborating upon the noble qualities of whichever among the following topics is appropriate: going for refuge, restraint by virtue, guarding the doors of the sense faculties, moderation in eating, application to wakefulness." End of quotation. One should know the degree of one's understanding. As we read, the Buddha gave a discourse in detail to those whose minds were disposed towards the enlightenment of disciples. He gave a discourse establishing and purifying them in the progress towards their goal, by elaborating upon the noble qualities as was appropriate to them. Those who want to develop satipatthana, to develop right understanding of the characteristics of the Dhammas that are appearing, and to develop the perfections in daily life, are already disposed towards the enlightenment of disciples, and that means that they go for refuge to the triple gem, that they observe sila, guard the doors of the sense faculties, are moderate in eating, and apply themselves to wakefulness, to energy, time and again. We should develop the perfections together with satipatthana, life after life. The Bodhisattva had developed the perfections for aeons to an incomparably high degree. He accumulated the perfection of generosity together with panya and all other wholesome qualities which formed together the conditions for the realization of the Four Noble Truths when he attained Buddhahood. The accumulation of the perfection of Dana and the other perfections have led to this result. We read in the commentary about the Bodhisattva's accumulation of the perfection of giving, and I quote, "When he, the Bodhisattva, gives a material gift, the great man gives food, thinking, 'May I, by this gift, enable beings to achieve long life, beauty, happiness, strength, intelligence, and the supreme fruit of unsullied bliss.' He gives drink, wishing to allay the thirst of sensual defilements, garments to gain the adornments of shame and moral dread, and the golden complexion of a Buddha, vehicles for attaining the modes of psychic potency and the bliss of Nibbana, scents for producing the sweet scent of virtue, garlands and unguents for producing the beauty of the Buddha qualities, seeds for producing the seed on the terrace of enlightenment, bedding for producing the bed of a Tathagata's rest, dwellings so he might become a refuge for beings, lamps so he might obtain the five eyes. He gives visible forms for producing the fathom-wide aura surrounding a Buddha, sounds for producing the Brahma-like voice of a Buddha, tastes for endearing himself to all the world, and tangibles for acquiring a Buddha's elegance. He gives medicines so he might later give the ageless and deathless state of Nibbana. He gives slaves the gift of freedom so he might later emancipate beings from the slavery of defilements. He gives blameless amusements and enjoyments in order to produce delight in the true Dhamma. He gives his own children as a gift, so that he might adopt all beings as his children by granting them an Aryan birth. He gives his wives as a gift, in order that he might become master over the entire world. He gives gifts of gold, gems, pearls, coral, etc., in order to achieve major marks of physical beauty, that is, the characteristics of a Buddha's body, and the gifts of the diverse meanings of beautification in order to achieve the minor features of physical beauty. He gives his treasuries as a gift in order to obtain the treasury of the true Dhamma, the gift of his kingdom in order to become the king of Dhamma, the gift of monasteries, parks, ponds, and groves in order to achieve the jhanas, the gift of his feet in order that he might approach the terrace of enlightenment with feet marked with the auspicious wheels, the gifts of his hands in order that he might give to beings the rescuing hand of the true Dhamma to help them across the four floods, the gift of his ears, nose, etc., in order to obtain the spiritual faculties of face, etc., the gift of his eyes in order to obtain the universal eye, the gift of his flesh and blood with the thought, "May my body be the means of life for all the world. May it bring welfare and happiness to all beings at all times, even on occasions of merely seeing, hearing, recollecting, or ministering to me." And he gives the gift of his head in order to become supreme in all the world. Unquote. All his deeds of generosity contributed to his realization of the Four Noble Truths when he became the Sammasambuddha. We read further on about the gifts of the Bodhisattva. Unquote. "The gift of sounds, Sadadana, should be understood by way of the sounds of drums, etc. It is certainly not possible to give a sound as one gives a cluster of lotuses, tearing it out by its bulbs and roots and placing it in the hands. But one gives a gift of sound by giving its base. Thus he makes a gift of sound by presenting a musical instrument, such as drums or tom-toms, to the triple gem." Unquote. One may offer a drum for the benefit of a temple as an offering of sound, because it can be used to announce the time, the hours or the watches of the day and night, and so on. One may arrange for oneself or someone else to use an instrument such as a drum, with the intention to give sound as an offering. The commentary explains further about the ways of offering the gift of sound. I quote, "By giving medicine for the voice, such as oil and molasses, to preachers of the Dhamma, or by announcing a lecture on the Dhamma, chanting the scriptures, giving a discourse on the Dhamma, holding a discussion, or expressing appreciation for the good deeds of others," unquote. One may invite people to sit close for a Dhamma discussion, or ask others to invite them for this purpose. Also, when expressing words of appreciation, anumodana, one can give sound as an offering. When one speaks these words aloud or invites others to join in the expression of them, one offers the gifts of sound. This is a condition for others also to take part in the offering of sound by way of the expression of anumodana. We read in the commentary, and I quote, "Giving thus, the great man does not give unwillingly, nor by afflicting others, nor out of fear, moral shame, or the scolding of those in need of gifts. When there is something excellent, he does not give what is mean. He does not give extolling himself or disparaging others. He does not give out of desire for the fruit, nor with loathing for those who ask, nor with lack of consideration. Rather, he gives thoroughly, with his own hand, at the proper time, considerately, without discrimination, filled with joy throughout the three times, before, during, and after giving. Having given, he does not become remorseful afterwards. He does not become either conceited or obsequious in relation to the recipients, but behaves amiably towards them. Bountiful and liberal, he gives things together with a bonus, saparivara. For when he gives food, thinking, I will give this along with a bonus, he gives garments, etc. as well. And when he gives garments, thinking, I will give this along with a bonus, he gives food, etc. as well." Unquote. His generosity is boundless, and he gives something else as a bonus to accompany his gift. In our daily life, we all should investigate and examine the realities that arise within us as they really are. Although we have listened to the texts about the Bodhisattva's giving, the way we give depends on conditions, and we cannot equal the Bodhisattva in generosity. Further on in the commentary, we read that the Bodhisattva is thinking when he has an object that can be given, but his citta is not inclined to give. I quote, "When the Bodhisattva possesses objects that can be given and suppliants are present, but his mind does not leap up at the thought of giving and he does not want to give, he should conclude, surely, I have not been accustomed to giving in the past, therefore a desire to give does not arise now in my mind, so that my mind will delight in giving in the future, I will give a gift. With an eye for the future, let me now relinquish what I have to those in need." Unquote. Thus we see that giving cannot be forced. A person who has accumulated the inclination to give often, time and again, is able to give immediately, without hesitation, without having to think about it again and again. Therefore, when someone's mind does not leap up at the thought of giving immediately, or when he hesitates, it can be known that he surely did not accumulate giving in the past. We read further on, and I quote, "Thus he gives a gift, generous, open-handed, delighting in relinquishing, one who gives when asked, delighting in giving and sharing. In this way, the great being destroys, shatters, and eradicates the first shackle to giving."
unquote. Here we see that we should investigate our citta when we are not inclined to give. We further read, and I quote, again, when the object to be given is inferior or defective, the great being reflects, because I was not inclined to giving in the past, at present my requisites are defective. Therefore, though it pains me, let me give whatever I have as a gift, even if the object is low and inferior. In that way, I will, in the future, reach the peak in the perfection of giving. Thus, he gives whatever kind of gift he can, generous, open-handed, delighting in relinquishing. One who gives when asked, delighting in giving and sharing. In this way, the great being destroys, shatters, and eradicates this second shackle to giving. Unquote. When someone does not give, he may reflect on it. He may realize that he did not accumulate generosity, and that from now on he will try to accumulate it. Or he realizes that the things he could give are defective or scarce, because he did not give in the past, and that he from now on, even though he has little, should give. We read further on, quote, when a reluctance to give arises due to the excellence or beauty of the object to be given, the great being admonishes himself, good man, haven't you made the aspiration for the supreme enlightenment, the loftiest and most superior of all states? Well then, for the sake of enlightenment, it is proper for you to give excellent and beautiful objects as gifts. Thus he gives what is excellent and beautiful, generous, open-handed, delighting in relinquishing. One who gives when asked, delighting in giving and in sharing. In this way, the great being destroys, shatters, and eradicates the third shackle to giving. Unquote. Sometimes, when a person regrets it to give something away, he should consider what he really wants. Does he want to keep that object? Or does he want to realize the Four Noble Truths? Reflection in this way could be a condition for the arising of generosity. And at that moment, a shackle to generosity is destroyed. We read, and I quote, when the great being is giving a gift, and he sees the loss of the object being given, he reflects thus, this is the nature of material possessions, that they are subject to loss and to passing away. Moreover, it is because I did not give such gifts in the past that my possessions are now depleted. Let me then give whatever I have as a gift, whether it be limited or abundant. In that way I will, in the future, reach the peak in the perfection of giving. Thus he gives whatever he has as a gift, generous, open-handed, delighting in relinquishing. One who gives when asked, delighting in giving and sharing. In this way, the great being destroys, shatters, and eradicates the fourth shackle to giving. Some people believe that when they give things away, their possessions will vanish. But in reality, it is already in the nature of possessions to vanish. No matter whether we give or do not give, when it is the right time for our possession to vanish, they will disappear. Some people who have many possessions fear that if they do not share them out, they will vanish, and therefore they believe that they should rather give them away. Whether a calamity is caused by fire, inundation, a tsunami, robbers, or when possessions are confiscated by kings, one may regret it that one did not give things away. We can see that possessions do not vanish because of giving, but that it depends on karma, whether one has possessions, or whether one loses them. It is most difficult to develop the perfections. Even though one has listened to the Dhamma and learned much about the perfections, it depends on the capacity of each individual to what degree he can develop kusala. the perfections should very gradually be developed. Together with Panya, they should be developed time and again. We know that this is necessary if we realize that we have many defilements and that it is difficult to develop the Panya that can eradicate them. Therefore, during each life, defilements should be gradually eliminated so that the Four Noble Truths can be realized when one becomes a stream winner, a Sotapanna. Then one has reached the first stage of enlightenment and one will not be reborn more than 7 times. We should also know what kind of Panya accompanies the perfection of generosity. The Book of Analysis, the second book of the Abhidharma, at chapter 16, Classification of Knowledge, 325, explains about different kinds of Panya, such as wisdom by means of thinking, wisdom by means of hearing, wisdom by means of giving, and wisdom by means of sila. We read about wisdom by means of giving, dhanayamapana, quote, concerning giving, the achieving of giving, that which arises is wisdom, understanding, unquote. The Dispeller of Delusion, the commentary to the Book of Analysis in chapter 16, 412, explains that understanding associated with the intention or volition, chetana, of giving, is understanding based on giving, or understanding by means of giving, dana maya panna panya. When we read this, we should investigate in detail the panya which is accompanied by the volition or intention of giving, chetana of dana. Panya cannot arise with akusala chitta. It cannot arise when someone expects a result. We read in the Dispeller of Delusion, quote, that understanding which arises associated in this way with the volition of giving, this is called understanding based on giving, dhanamaya panya. But that has 3 forms, namely prior volition, volition of relinquishing, and subsequent volition, according as it arises in one who thinks, I shall give a gift, in one giving a gift, or in one reviewing after giving a gift, unquote. The Dispeller of Delusions shows here in detail when Panya accompanies the Kusala Chittas that are intent on generosity. Kusala Chitta can be unaccompanied by Panya or accompanied by Panya. Kusala Chitta of the sense sphere accompanied by Panya Chetasika, Maha Kusala Chitta, Nana Sampamayuta, can be Kusala Chitta of the level of Dana, of Sila, or of Bhavana, mental development, including Samatha and Satipatthana, which is the development of Vipassana. When we develop the perfection of generosity, the aim should be the correct understanding of realities as they are, without any expectation of a result for ourselves. This is the condition for Panya, which is understanding based on dana, dana maya panya. We read in the commentary to the Basket of Conduct, Division Roman 2, the Perfection of Renunciation, number 1, Conduct of Yudanjaya, quote, panya of the beginning stage that considers the impermanence of realities knows which dhammas are beneficial concerning generosity, etc., and which are not. This is the perfection of panya, unquote. Dana, generosity, is the giving away of objects for the benefit and happiness of others. When we give things away, we are not selfish. Panya of the beginning stage considers the impermanence of realities. Did we ever consider, at the moment of giving, that there is nothing lasting? Even possessions that we still have today and that we have not yet given away may vanish before we can give them away because they are impermanent. Even we ourselves, who have not yet given away things, are impermanent. we may die even before we have the opportunity to be generous, when we reflect on the impermanence of those who give and those who receive, kusala citta may motivate us to give assistance to others. When we give away things that are beneficial to others with the understanding of the impermanence of everything, the perfection of wisdom can develop. We can only know for ourselves whether we consider impermanence at such moments. When we meet other people who are poor, we can reflect on the unsatisfactoriness of life and on impermanence before giving, at the moment of giving and after giving. Thus, at the three moments of wholesome intention, kusala cetana, with regard to giving. Some people feel joy with regard to some kinds of dana, not to all kinds. And when they recollect their generosity afterwards, they are delighted and have attachment to their generosity. This shows that there may be wholesome intention, kusala cetana, before giving, and at the moment of giving, but that afterwards there may not be kusala citta. We should investigate, when we recollect our generosity after we have given, whether the citta is kusala citta or akusala citta. We may be happy when we consider that we have done something beneficial, that we have given assistance to people so that they are free from suffering. Others may not give assistance to them because they may not know of their needs. When we have given assistance to people, and when we recollect the kusala we have performed, we may feel delighted, but this is non-self, anatta. It is beyond control whether happiness arises or not. Happy feeling may arise because we had an opportunity to help someone who was in need and whom we should give assistance. However, if we desire to recollect our kusala in order to have benefit for ourselves, this is not the perfection of generosity. The difference between generosity that is a perfection and that is not is very subtle indeed. This is the end of the chapter on the perfection of dana, generosity.